Chapter 22. O Captain, My Captain. The Silk Road tribe didn't just like their new leader's name. They fucking loved it. It was a rallying cry for everyone involved. A masked face for the leader of a revolution. If Cuba had Che Guevara and Ireland had Michael Collins, then the war on drugs would have the Dread Pirate Roberts. The site's forums, where people could discuss anything about the Silk Road, were bubbling with chatter about its leader's nom de plume. The dealers and buyers were galvanized with a feeling that they weren't simply buying or selling drugs, but were on the fringes of an insurrection that was going to change the entire legal system forever. Ross's employees also immediately took to the new moniker, as it gave an identity to someone who, until now, had had no selfhood. One minute, their boss was an anonymous, elusive figure behind a keyboard. The next, he was a feared pirate who was going to lead them into battle with the U.S. government. And by fucking God, he was going to win that battle. Everyone started respectfully referring to Ross as either the Dread Pirate Roberts or DPR for short. And those closest to him, mostly his employees, chose an even more important title, Captain. Dozens of times a day, they address their commander this way. Morning, Captain. Ready when you are, Captain. My thoughts exactly, Captain. Sweet dreams, Captain. Night, Captain. Ross loved it, all of it. For the first time in months, he felt invigorated by the sight and the direction he could steer the ship. And it was his ship, no one else's. Oh, Captain, my Captain. Before meeting Variety Jones, Ross had questioned what he was doing. Was all of this worth it? At first, he had lived with the constant fear that running the site could land him in jail for the rest of his life, or even force him to walk the Green Mile to an electric chair. He had come to terms with this by reminding himself that he was fighting for something he believed in, and because he was helping people, the risk was worth the reward. But after overcoming that obstacle, he couldn't quite come to terms with the reality that he had to constantly lie to those around him. His few employees had helped pull him out of this depression, reiterating to their leader how proud they were to be a part of something so grand and revolutionary. Sure, they were being paid, with most making a few hundred dollars a week for their programming services, but it wasn't just about the money. They were grateful to be involved. One employee told Ross he had walked away from his other jobs and responsibilities in life to pursue all of this. The prospect of legalizing drugs and ensuring that future generations would not spend their lives in prisons for selling or even doing drugs was more important than anything else, the employee said. Another proclaimed proudly, "We really can change the world. We are really lucky. This opportunity is on the scale of a few times in a millennia." The tide had turned so much, and with so many prospects for the Silk Road, Ross had decided to start writing a diary. In one of his first journal entries, realizing the profundity of his vision, he wrote, "I imagine that someday I may have a story written about my life, and it would be good to have a detailed account of it." There were plenty of reminders to illustrate his rising importance. From a financial standpoint, the site was so successful and was processing so many orders that he had now become a millionaire. Though being frugal Ross, he didn't buy anything showy with the money beyond a few nice meals. All of his possessions still fit snugly in a small bag. But while the Silk Road side of his life was perfect, he still was troubled that he had to lie to people. When his family and friends asked what he was doing for work, Ross told a different story to each of them. "I'm a day trader. I'm working on a video game. I buy and sell digital currencies." Each time he told one of those stories, Ross was filled with guilt. He had always been obsessed with being true to his word, as he put it, and this constant deceit gnawed at his conscience. It wasn't like he could go to the Silk Road and be honest there either. He had no choice but to lie to everyone there too, for obvious reasons. Though on several occasions he had slipped, sometimes by accident, more often because he needed to tell someone something. Ross had told Variety Jones one recent afternoon that he used to be an experimental physicist. He had blundered with Smedley, his new chief programmer, and told him about his travels through Australia and Asia. He had told his other employee, Inigo, about camping trips he used to take with his father, Kirk. On more than one occasion, he had talked about how much he loved fishing. Now Ross had a better system for separating fact from fiction. By becoming the Dread Pirate Roberts, he could wear a mask that made him into two different people. In the real world, he would be Ross Ulbricht. Online, he would be the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yes, Cap'n. As Ross, he could still talk about his ideals, about legalizing drugs, libertarianism, and his work with Bitcoin, all without going anywhere near the Silk Road in his mind, and, more important, never feeling like he was fibbing to those he loved. And once the Dread Pirate Roberts mask was slipped on, a different person could steer the ship into uncharted and potentially unethical waters. DPR could cross lines that Ross would never have come up against, all of which he had to negotiate to take the site to the next level. Oh, Captain, my Captain. As the Dread Pirate Roberts, Ross didn't have to constantly lie anymore, except to himself.